Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's so good to be with you again. We thank God for the past 1 year since we came here. Thank God for what God has been doing amongst you. We know God has been visiting you, has been raising you, and then you are not the same people we met last year. You have changed, you have grown, and the change continues. Hallelujah. Amen. And we thank God for the theme of this year's conference, the light and paths of righteousness. The light and paths of righteousness. Amen. 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 That is what the Spirit of God is doing all over the world, wanting the body to come to the understanding of righteousness. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is moving all over the world, desiring that the body of Christ will come to the understanding of righteousness, and so that they can walk in righteousness. Hallelujah. Righteousness is so key to the new creation man. Understanding of righteousness is so key to the new creation man. That is our life. That is our world. Amen. God can only raise us by the knowledge of righteousness. Amen. The beginning of the new creation man is that he was made righteousness. Hallelujah. That's the beginning of the new man. The beginning of the new man is that your spirit, the new man, was recreated in Christ Jesus in righteousness and true holiness. The new creation man, the beginning of the born again Christian, is that the new man, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we are new in our spirits. You were quickened in your spirit. The new man was created in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. So in your spirit, the nature you came into at the new birth is righteousness and true holiness. Righteousness and true holiness. That's the beginning of the new man. Hallelujah. The new man, let's quickly open to it. That is Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Let me read from verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, the old man. Hallelujah. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. Ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Are you seeing something? The new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the nature of your spirit. Amen. That's the nature of your spirit. Righteousness and true holiness. The Bible says, if in your body, if you are in Christ Jesus, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Hallelujah. Because of righteousness. your spirit, the new man, is called righteousness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's called righteousness. So righteousness is the beginning of the new man. And if that is the beginning, the reason you were brought into righteousness is because the world of God is actually the world of righteousness. God is called the righteous judge. Jesus Christ is called the righteous one. Hallelujah. Their world is a world of righteousness. What rules, what reigns in the world, in the realm of God, is righteousness. So because God wants to admit us into his realm, he wants to bring us into his kingdom, he has to introduce to us righteousness in our spirits. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Righteousness. Jesus Christ, when he rose up from the dead, God told him, he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is what? Is righteousness. The scepter of your kingdom is righteousness. He said, you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Jesus Christ is referred to as the righteous one. They said, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Why? He did righteousness. What God is bringing us into in our days is actually what he used to raise his son, Jesus Christ. What was used to raise the son, what was used to make the son to be able to sit on the throne is righteousness. And God is bringing us, he wants us to come into that same place where Jesus is. You know, he said, I go to my father. He said, I will come. He said, what his desire is that where I am, you also will be. Now, where he is with the father. Hallelujah. He's with his father. And he said he wants everyone to be where he is. Now, what took him to where he is what he's unveiling to his body. Is what he's unveiling to the church so that the church can come to where he is. Hallelujah. You don't just get there. In your spirit, you are already there. The reason when you got born again, because the new man is created in righteousness and true holiness, immediately he was quickened from the dead. Because he has what it takes to be where he is. He has the nature of the throne, which is righteousness and true holiness. The Bible says, and ye were ye quickened. He said, you were quickened together with Christ Jesus. You were raised up together with him. Made to sit. That's Ephesians chapter 2. Made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why are you able to sit together? Because you got the nature of where he is. Seated together with Christ, with God, with Christ. Jesus Christ is seated there because he loved righteousness and hated what? Iniquity. So, being born again in your spirit, you qualified to sit on the throne because of the nature of the new man. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, after you have been born again, there is the curriculum, the syllabus of righteousness that we need to learn, that we don't know anything about. You are already become it in your spirit. But you see, you can't even work it out. You can't live it out because you don't know anything about it. The man who is to work out righteousness, who is to live out righteousness, knows nothing about righteousness. Now, God has packaged for the believer because you have been born again, recreated in Christ Jesus, in righteousness and true holiness. He has packaged a lifestyle for you as a new creation man who is righteous in his spirit. He has created a lifestyle for you to live by. There is a way those who have been quickened from the dead, there is a way they live. They have their own conversation. Their conversation is the lifestyle of righteousness. Their conversation is the life that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The life that is in Christ Jesus, the life that Jesus Christ lived here on earth, he lived it and he finished it. Hallelujah. They call him the author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith really is actually the revelation of righteousness. Hallelujah. Of what is called right, what God calls right. That is our faith. Hallelujah. And for those who have been quickened from the dead, that is the life that God has ordained that we should walk in. That is the way we are meant to live. Hallelujah. So Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ contains the life that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The gospel of our Lord Jesus is the revelation of the life that is in Christ Jesus. It's the revelation of Christ. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. To the Jews first, then to the Greeks. For therein in the gospel, hallelujah, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Is revealed, which means we don't know it. If it's not revealed, you cannot know it. It's revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Who are the just? Those who have been justified in their spirits. Hallelujah. They have a life. When you have been justified in your spirit, you have been made alive, you have been quickened, you have a life you must live. It is by faith. And that faith is informed by the revelation of righteousness, the revelation of what God calls right. Hallelujah. That is the life of those who have been quickened from the dead. Without the revelation of that life, the just cannot come to life, cannot live. Hallelujah. Because you were quickened in your spirit so that you can learn righteousness and live by righteousness. And by so doing, you will be quickened. The quickening is continuous. You will be quickened in your soul. Hallelujah. And eventually be quickened in your body. Amen. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So at the new birth, you got life in your spirit. Now, to get abundant life, you need to learn the life-giving principles, the life-giving laws, hallelujah, which is righteousness. As you learn righteousness and you live according to that which is revealed, you are quickened. You are made alive. Hallelujah. You are made alive. Now, I'm saying that God is in the business of revealing righteousness in these our days. Why? The church has come to a time where our life has to be learned. The life of the church, of the new creation man, must be learned. When we got born again, we didn't understand anything about our life. Hallelujah. We didn't understand anything about our life. So they handed over to us. Wonderful. Okay, now. She must not carry any other baby. Apart from her. Praise the Lord. You know, we got born again. And for ages, for years, the church has been born again. And we've not been able to really come into the fullness of the reality of the new birth. We've not been able to express the life of God that is embedded in our spirit. The reason is because we have not learned our life. Hallelujah. There is a part of us that is meant to express, that is meant to allow the expression of the life that is in the spirit. It is the soul. Hallelujah. Now, if the soul does not learn righteousness, which is the nature that is in the spirit, the soul will not be able to live out righteousness. Don't forget, there is a way the just must live. The just shall live by faith. If the just does not live by faith, the just will remain natural, normal, like a carnal human being. Though ye are gods, he said you will die as men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the full expression of the life of the new creation man cannot come to be except righteousness is learned. Righteousness is revealed. Hallelujah. Revelation of righteousness bring out the life that is in our spirit. Hallelujah. Because it enables us, when you learn it, you are able to live by it. You can't live by what you don't know. So the new creation man begins to live his life when righteousness is revealed. When righteousness is revealed, then you begin to understand what your life is all about and you begin to live it out. Why do we need to live out righteousness? That is the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. That is the only thing that can make us to conform to the image of Christ, the Son of God. Our ordination, the reason you got born again, is to become like the Son of God. He said, those whom he foreknew, that is Romans chapter 8, those whom he foreknew, he also what? He predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many what? Brethren. He might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Now, the Son we are talking about now is the resurrected Son. He's not the Son that walked the streets of Jerusalem. The image that they want us to be conformed to is the image of the resurrected Son. Hallelujah. The resurrected Son. Now, the resurrected Son, the Bible calls him, is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. That's the Son they are calling us to become conformed to. That is the reason you got born again. God wants many sons like unto his Son. Now, that Son is such a high Son. He's a Son, but he's called God. Hallelujah. He's a Son, he's divine. He's called the Almighty God. He's called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father. That is the image they want us to be conformed to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the reason why you were quickened from the dead, so that you can be like the Son, who is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. Hallelujah. Now, what made the Son who he is? He was not born like that. The Son was not born like that. The Son also was born like you and I, without sin, and then he had to learn righteousness. Righteousness was committed to him. Righteousness was revealed to him. As he obeyed righteousness, he changed form. Hallelujah. He changed form. The Son was learning righteousness the way we are also called to come and learn righteousness. Hallelujah. Righteousness is a tool that God has to change a man, to change the form of a man to the form of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was born a man. Bible says the word was made flesh. But God gave him the syllabus of right by revelation. He was committing to him that which is right. He was committing to him. And the wonderful thing about him is that as God was committing to him the knowledge of righteousness, hallelujah, he was obeying it. That's why God gave testimony concerning him. He said, you loved righteousness. Loving righteousness means you chose righteousness. As I revealed my standard of righteousness to you, you chose it. And you rejected iniquity. Iniquity is another kind of life that is different from the life that is revealed. The life that is revealed is righteousness. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ kept obeying righteousness as it was revealed to him. He was obeying it as it was revealed to him. And as he obeyed it, he changed. He changed form. He changed form. That is the only way man can change from the form of man to the form of God. Because the Son of God that God has ordained us to be conformed to his image, he said, those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image
image of his son. His son. The image of the son. He chose us. He predestinated you. That is a very, very high calling. That calling is too high if you know who the son is. You know that we are in for something marvelous, something wonderful. If you know who the son is, the image of the son, you have been called. You were born again for that purpose. It's a purpose. Let's read it. Romans chapter 8 from verse 28. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You now begin to see the importance, the essence of righteousness. It's so key to our destiny. It's key to our manifestation. Hallelujah. Righteousness, the learning of righteousness is so important. Without it, we cannot keep make date with destiny. We cannot make date with ordination. Romans chapter 8 verse 20. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Are you seeing something? Called. You know the calling? Called according to his purpose. He has a purpose for calling you. The calling is not the calling into ministry. That's not the calling he's talking about. It's a calling into purpose. The new birth is a calling. There's a reason why you got born again. You got born again to become something. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at it. The next verse. What is the purpose? So clear. Who are they called according to his purpose? Let's look at the purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren. Many brethren. Which means all the brethren must be like the firstborn. Hallelujah. The firstborn is a pattern for every other brother. Hallelujah. For all the brethren, he is a pattern. The firstborn is a pattern. That's a pattern. That's a stone that is laid in Zion for everyone to be conformed to. Now, that son is too high a son. He's too high a son. Hallelujah. He's a very high son. That son is talking about, let's look at it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1 to see our calling so that we can know what we are up to. What God is up to in getting us born again, in calling us, is a very high calling. Very high calling. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1. Okay, let's read from verse 1. God, we are looking at the son that they are calling us to be conformed to become like the pattern of a son. The son he's talking about. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake him time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Yes. Continue. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. By his son. Spoken unto us by who? His son. You remember now the son. Those whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. This is the son. We'll see what you are up to. Whom? This is the son. Now he's describing the son. Whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Continue. The son, predestination, calling, hallelujah, ordination. Who being, this is the son, he's describing the son. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Continue. This is the son. Be made so much better. To be conformed to the image. So they are calling you to come and be better than angels. This is the son. The son is being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the sons said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Continue. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. That is the son. That is the son. That is the son. Hallelujah. That is the son. And this son was raised by something. Continue. Hallelujah. Continue, continue. Verse 6. Okay, let me use my own Bible. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. He is to be worshipped. He commands the worship of all the angels. That is the Son. That is who the Son is. The Son is he who they worship. All the angels of God. Because he has been made so much better than they. He was made so much better than they. Why? Because by inheritance, he obtained an excellent name than the angels. Verse 7. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he said, unto the Son, hallelujah, thy throne, O God. The Son is who? O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Thy throne, O God, that is the Son, that you were predestinated to be conformed to his image. He is referred to as God. And the kingdom, they call he owns the kingdom with the Father. Hallelujah. Now, what brought him there is he told the Son, one reason why you are like this is because you loved righteousness and hated. All his life, he loved righteousness. He chose righteousness. He hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even his God, anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what righteousness, exactly what he loved, what he lived by, what he chose, is what the gospel contains. Righteousness. The reason we got born again so that we can hear the revelation of righteousness. What does it do to us? Righteousness changes, has ability to change you. Now, the Son is made higher, better than all angels. Hallelujah. Because of what he was made of. The Bible says he had by inheritance, he inherited things, he inherited properties that are higher and superior to that of angels. Those properties are actually God's things, which righteousness, revelation of righteousness, delivers to us. God's things. He became an heir of all things. All things. He inherited them. How did he inherit? By obeying. You don't inherit except you obey what is being revealed to you. Except you align, you agree, you believe, then you can inherit. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So righteousness is to be preached to us after we get born again. And that righteousness is not what a baby Christian can take. Because righteousness is actually the knowledge of God. Righteousness is the revelation of God himself. Is the knowledge of God. Is the knowledge of God's ways. Righteousness is the way of God. Righteousness is truth. Hallelujah. Now, you can't take truth. God starts us with milk. We learn milk when you get born again because you can't take righteousness. It's actually, it's called, let's read Hebrews chapter 5. What I'm trying to let us see is that we are in a season where the knowledge of righteousness must enter the churches. The church must learn righteousness. We have been born again. We have been born again for years. But they have not been able to take the knowledge of righteousness because it's not something that can be introduced immediately people get born again. Hallelujah. It's not something that can be introduced immediately people get born again. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is what? A babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, when Paul went to the Corinthian Christians, that's my phone, I think. Where did you get it? Oh, really? Thank you. Hallelujah. When Paul went to the Corinthian Christians, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, when I came to you, I could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual. But as unto what? Carnal. As unto babes. For ye are yet what? Carnal. He said, I could not feed you with meat. I have fed you with milk. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The time has come for the church to move to these things so that we can become spiritual. Hallelujah. Because that man who is called the Son of God is a spirit. The Bible calls him a quickening spirit. Now, it takes revelation of things to turn a carnal man to a quickening spirit. This church, the Corinthian church, though they were born again, Paul referred to them as carnal. He said they were not spiritual. Why? Because of what they were feeding on. He said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency. No, it's chapter 3, sorry. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual. I couldn't speak to you as unto what? Spiritual. But as unto carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. They were brethren. They were born again. Said, but they were what? They were not spiritual. They were feeding on what? Milk. Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Are you seeing meat? And milk. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And what? And walk as men. And you do what? You walk as men, because you are feeding only on milk. Now, your walk needs to change. Hallelujah. Your walk cannot change until revelation of righteousness comes to you. Amen. Now, as long as they are babies, they are feeding on milk, they cannot take the word of righteousness. For he that is feeding on milk is unskillful in what? The word of righteousness. Praise the Lord. So when they want to introduce you, what I'm telling us that the church, the reason for the revelation, unveiling of the word of righteousness now in this season is because the church, it is time for the church to come to the knowledge of righteousness. Word of righteousness must enter all our churches, because without it, the people will remain babies, the people will remain carnal, they will never be spiritual. They will never be what? Spiritual. What God uses to turn a man from carnality to spirituality is righteousness. The introduction of his ways, of knowledge of him. Now, is it Isaiah now that says, who shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Doctrine. He that is what? Weaned from milk and drawn from breast. Weaned from milk and drawn from breast. Can we read it? That's is it Isaiah 18, Abby? Or 28? 28. Verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? When you are talking about knowledge, you are talking about doctrine. The doctrine of Jesus Christ is righteousness. That's his doctrine. Hallelujah. Amen. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they will not hear. Now, teaching of knowledge, giving of doctrine, is the revelation of righteousness. When you want to begin to teach a believer knowledge, or you want to give them doctrine, because doctrine is very necessary for inheritance, for inheriting God, you must do doctrine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, what Jesus Christ came into, the Bible says, he was made heir of all things. God appointed him heir of all things. He inherited all things of God. So he also came to the realm of God. Now, without having doctrine and doing doctrine, you cannot inherit God. So the revelation of righteousness is so important, because it is the giving of doctrine. It is the giving of the knowledge of God. Why do we need knowledge? So that we can walk unto all pleasing. We can please him. Hallelujah. We can please him. Why we need knowledge? Knowledge is for pleasing. Knowledge is for changing. Knowledge is for cleansing. Knowledge is for transformation. Without knowledge, there is no transformation. There is no cleansing. Hallelujah. So they start out with the knowledge of righteousness, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the knowledge of God. In the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is contained the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of God. And those are the two doctrines that we need to inherit. The two doctrines that we need to come to all God. Hallelujah. The two doctrines that we need to be conformed to the image of the Son. Because in those doctrines, they contain the particles of the image. Hallelujah. As you do them, you change. Now, let's establish something here. That is, before that one escapes, that is 2 John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a reason, there's a purpose for which we are born again. Verse 9. Are we there? 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. Are we there? Are we there? Yes. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Are you seeing something? Whosoever what? Transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. Are you seeing something? Who shall he teach doctrine? And who will he make to understand? Who shall he teach knowledge? And who will he make to understand doctrine? Why do I need to understand doctrine? So I can abide in it. I can obey doctrine. I can abide in doctrine. As I abide in doctrine, what am I getting? I'm getting God. Hallelujah. Whosoever transgresseth and abided not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abided in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bringeth not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Are you seeing how serious it is? It's so serious because anybody that brings not this doctrine is coming to rob you of your inheritance. Anybody that brings a doctrine that is contrary to the doctrine of Christ, which is righteousness, is coming to rob you of your inheritance because you need this doctrine to inherit God. Hallelujah. This is what was delivered to Jesus and he chose it. He loved it. He loved all those doctrines that God taught him. Doctrine is also knowledge. Knowledge of God for man to obey. Hallelujah. So I was saying that these things have to enter into the church in this season that we are in because God wants us, he wants the new creation generation to begin to emerge. There is no emergence of this new creation. A lot of people have been born again, but there's no difference. You look at born again Christians, there's hardly any difference between them and the unbeliever because their life has not been revealed to them for them to walk in, because what we have believed in is very potent. Hallelujah. It's very potent. It's able to change man to God. It's able to take man from the realm of man to the realm of all God. If it is not revealed, man will remain man. Man will remain carnal. Man will never migrate. He will never be spiritual. He will just be playing church. I am born again. I speak in tongues. I pray. I believe God for fish and I got fish. I believe God for... But you will be natural. Like Paul said, he said, I have fed you with milk, not with meat, because you cannot bear it. And because you are being fed only with milk, which means you have not been taught doctrine. Doctrine is meat. Knowledge is meat. Your food tells who you are. As long as you are drinking milk, you are carnal. And the image, the Son of God, is not a carnal person. He's a spirit. Not just a spirit. He's a quickening spirit. He's a quickening spirit. And that's the image they want you to conform to. Hallelujah. Now, it takes knowledge to raise a quickening spirit. It takes knowledge of righteousness. It takes doctrine to raise a quickening spirit, which is the image of the Son of God that you have been called to come and conform to. Hallelujah. Knowledge. Without knowledge, there is no change. Without knowledge, there is no transformation. There is no transformation. Without knowledge, there is no cleansing. Because though we are born again, we still have things, infirmities, shortcomings, things that limit us, things that make us bound to the earth. Hallelujah. They still need to be cleansed from us. And the giving of righteousness is the giving of those agents, reagents of cleansing. Hallelujah. Knowledge of God is meant for cleansing. Cleansing the soul. Making the soul clean. Raising the soul from the earth. What defiles the soul is actually properties of the earth. Values of the earth. Principles of the earth that formed the soul. Conversation, earthly conversation. The Bible calls it vain conversation. He said, for inasmuch as you were not redeemed with silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Those conversations are the things that formed the soul and made the soul carnal. Hallelujah. Now, for you to redeem a man from such conversations, you need to give the knowledge of righteousness. Another conversation, another value, another principle. Hallelujah. And all these things are packaged in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are actually the things that made up Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. They are the properties that his Father gave to him that raised him to be who he is, the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. Hallelujah. He's a statue, he's a structure of knowledge. Hallelujah. Knowledge of who God is. Knowledge of what makes God to be God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's look at I'm just doing an introduction to this meeting. A lot of things I've said are still going to be emphasized. I think it's 2 Peter chapter, is it chapter 3 or 2? Okay, it's chapter 2, verse 20. Are we there? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Are we there? For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you seeing the reason of forgiving knowledge? Hallelujah. Who shall he teach knowledge, and who shall he make to understand doctrine? Why? Why did they teach knowledge? So that we can escape pollution of the world. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of what? Righteousness. So when knowledge is being given, what are you knowing? The way of righteousness. Knowledge is righteousness. Knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is the giving of the way of righteousness. Hallelujah. Then after they have known it, to turn from what? Holy commandments delivered unto them. So righteousness is what? Holy commandments. Righteousness is what? Holy commandment. Righteousness is knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason for it is so that we can escape what? Pollution that is in the world through lust. Are you seeing something? Are you seeing that the church has not yet stepped into this? Gradually, God is unveiling these things because we have stayed a long time in milk. God will do it for me. God can do it for me. He has done it for me. He's very good. But after doing it for you, he wants you to come and learn him. Because he wants you to change state. If he keeps doing it for you, you will not change state. You will just stay in one place. He has done for me. He has done for me. He has done it for me. He has done for what my father cannot do. He has done for me. Year in, year out. Year in, year out. You remain carnal. You remain a baby. But when they want to raise you, they come and say, come, it is time to learn righteousness. It's time to learn the way of righteousness. It's time to learn to have the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be cleansed. You can escape pollution that is in the world through lust. Hallelujah. So knowledge will make the church to escape the pollution of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Bible says, this is the he that is whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Even what? Our faith. Our faith is what? Is the revelation of righteousness. Now, if we don't overcome the world, we can never be received by God. We can never what? Be received by God. Jesus Christ, everyone that will be received by God, everyone that will come to God and be by God, must be an overcomer of the world. Jesus said, he that overcometh shall what? Sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and I am set on my father's soul. So he also overcame the world. You know, he said it, in the world you have tribulation. In me you have peace. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. How did he overcome the world? He walked in righteousness. He obeyed righteousness. When you obey righteousness, you are coming out of the world because you are becoming free from the principles that govern the world. The world, we all know the world. Who crafted the world is God's enemy. And is your enemy. So the Bible says friendship with the world is what? Enmity against God. So people are in church, born again, but they are actually God's enemies. You don't understand? God's enemies. Why? Because we are friends of the world. You can't overcome the world except you have lived by faith, which is informed by the revelation of righteousness. So, church people are worldly. And God needs us to overcome his enemy. His enemy crafted the world and sold it. So, when you don't come to the knowledge of righteousness, you will be in church, you will be using God to get the world. You will be praying God to help you sustain the world that he wants to bring you out of. You understand what I'm saying? You know this Oluwajo, Jekintegbe. Interpretation. Maybe somebody will help me with. Like my mates. Don't let my mates lead me. Don't let them beat me. Leaving me there is in the things of this world, in the standards of the world. Praise the Lord. So you see, people in church, the reason we are coming to church and serving God is so that my mates will not leave me. I will be equal with my mates. If possible, I will overtake my mates. Do you understand? Why? Because a standard has been set by the God of this world and has made it a goal for everyone to run after, to pursue. My mate, my mate, my mate, my mate, hey, my mate, hey, 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 in different areas. Hey, my mate, they are getting married. Hey! You see, that drive makes you restless. And because that standard has been set, you people are not ready to follow the leading of the Spirit. You can say, if I follow God, it will be too late. My mate will just be, God is very slow. God is always slow. Takes you out of destiny. Praise the Lord. Now, when the teaching of righteousness comes, what it does to you is to detonate that standard. That thing that is set by the world. That standard, you see, what is my mate? What are they acquiring? Perishable, corruptible things. Hey, the world is passing you by. Corruptible is passing you by. That is what the teaching of righteousness will bring to you. Will open your eyes, you begin to see, what are people really running after? That which perishes. Does it give life? No. If I get it, will I become a better person? No, I can even become worse in trying to get it. Yes, because by the time I break rules, laws of the spirit, to get what I want to get, I'm becoming a bad person. You see, some believers, because of this standard set by the world, they just must belong to a particular status in life. They are willing to break every law of righteousness. If you bring the teaching of righteousness to them, they will fight you. In fact, they will spoil your name. Because they don't want to let go. That standard has been set. We must meet it. So you see, the church, even pastors whose eyes have not been opened, they help to push doctrine that contradicts the doctrine of Christ. They make you to live in time, bondage of time. And they make you aware of time. Hey, time is going. Hey, your mates have gone. Hey, God, help me, oh. Let me run with the same speed. And God is trying to slow you down so that you can gain life. Especially women. My mates are married. Is it time for you? Is that the time that God has set for you to get married? Hey, time is going on. A woman's time. A woman's time comes runs very fast. There's no time on the side of woman. And that informs your decision of who to marry and when to marry. Because Satan has set some lies as a standard that every man on earth must meet. Righteousness brings another standard, another kind of life, another lifestyle that is in God, the beginning life, the life that makes you to live. That is what righteousness teaches us. So you now see, Romans chapter 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So those who are in Christ, but that's not the end. Who walk not after the what? Flesh. The world teaches you to walk in the flesh. The world gives you principles to live by, which are principles of the flesh that makes you remain as a flesh. You know, flesh, when you talk of flesh now, you are comparing man to a goat, to flesh of fish and animals. And they are all victims of circumstances and situations. But God has brought another law that a man will live by, and he will turn from flesh to spirit. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that is righteousness, is the law. The Bible calls it the holy commandment. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Which means if I obey the revelation of Jesus, what am I obeying? I'm obeying the law of the Spirit of life. That is righteousness. What does it do to me? It makes me live. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the effect of righteousness, the Bible calls it life and peace. Life and peace. So God wants us to live. And to live more abundantly. But we cannot come to life in abundance until righteousness is revealed to us. As righteousness is revealed and we obey it, we live. And we live. And we live. And we live. We change image. We change image. Hallelujah. We change image. We change image. From the image of the fallen man, because the man that is alive now, that is walking now, is not even the living soul order. Man has become flesh. But the beauty of the gospel is that it has ability to turn flesh to spirit. That man that is flesh, the gospel has ability to turn man from flesh to spirit. He will learn the laws of the Spirit of life by the unveiling, the revelation of righteousness. He will learn it, he will live by it, as he's living by what is revealed, he's turning. He's turning. He's changing. He's changing. He's changing. He's changing. He's changing until he will change and change and change and change and become like the Son of God. Let's quickly look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Like I said, I'm laying foundation for the teachings of the week. But this foundation is very necessary so that we can grasp it and then we can spring from it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me quickly bring my own. Let me start from verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. So the gospel is referred to as the ministration of righteousness. That's the New Testament. If you read from the beginning, it says that God has made him able minister of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. So righteousness is actually Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when the gospel, when the New Testament is preached, Spirit is being ministered to us. And when Spirit is being ministered to us, let's see the effect of it. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more than the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is our spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. What happens to us? Are changed into the same image. Are you seeing how they will bring about that purpose of God? That predestination. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Hallelujah. Now he says, this image, we can't acquire it except we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. How do we behold? By the unveiling, the ministration of righteousness gives us, it paints a picture of the glory of God. Hallelujah. As we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed to be conformed to the image of the Son. It comes by the ministration of righteousness. The ministration of righteousness, that which is contained in Christ Jesus, that which Jesus Christ came into, that which he inherited, that which made him up. Hallelujah. He came into it, and by ministering him, he can be, you also can come into it. Hallelujah. Let's quickly read, continue, chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, are you seeing something? The glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. Are you seeing something? The glorious gospel of who? Of Christ. Who is the image of God? So when Christ is being unveiled, what are they unveiling? Image. When righteousness is being unveiled, what is being unveiled? Image. Image. We can't come to God's image, which is your predestination, except there is an unveiling of righteousness. Say, the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That is, in the gospel is the power to change. Why? Because of what the gospel contains. It contains righteousness, which is God's power for salvation. Hallelujah. Righteousness is the tool that God uses to save, to change a man from flesh to spirit. To change a man to God's image, he uses righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For if our gospel is be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Christ, the image of God. So his gospel contains God's image. Properties that can minister image. And Paul said, the content of that gospel is righteousness. For therein, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Why is it revealed? As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when it is revealed, and the responsibility of the just is to live by that which is revealed. And as I live by it, I'm not just living, I'm changing. My old formation is dropping. My old formation is dropping. I'm acquiring a new formation by the giving of righteousness. Hallelujah. So without righteousness, there is no realization of our predestination, of the purpose for which you were saved. You were born again. You can never realize it. You can never come to it except righteousness is revealed. And you walk in it. And men walk in it. And men walk in it. And men walk in it. It is key. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You cannot separate righteousness from God's kingdom. God said the scepter of the kingdom is righteousness. So anybody who will enter the kingdom must know righteousness. Not just know it, must do it. Must know righteousness. Must do it. For Jesus said, not all that call me Lord, Lord will enter into my kingdom. Eh? But those who do, the will of my, what is the will of God? It's righteousness. Doing righteousness is doing God's will. Because revelation of righteousness is the revelation of God himself. Who he is. What made him up. Revelation of the laws. The Bible called them holy commandments. Holy commandments. Holy commandments. What is commandment meant for? For obeying. Obedience. No, if I don't know it, then I don't have what to obey. That's why I must give myself to acquiring it, the knowledge of it, and acquiring the knowledge and doing what is right. What is right, simply put, is what God says is right. You don't know it. I don't know it. Thou will show me the path of life. The path of life is the path of righteousness. For in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. But before I can walk in that path, it must be showed to me. That's why the gospel must be preached to me. After I get born again, I need the preaching of the gospel, which is the preaching of righteousness, so that I can walk the path of righteousness. And what where will he end me? In his presence. In his presence. In his presence. Thou leadest me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. His name is, what is his name? His image, his person. To acquire his person, I must be led in the path of righteousness. Let's begin to thank him. After winning, being weaned from milk, the next thing is the learning of righteousness. The next thing is the learning of righteousness. Let's begin to thank him. God is calling the church. We need to learn it. We need to learn it. We need to learn it so that we can live by it. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. The life of the just is the life of faith. The just will not live if his faith is not delivered to him. Faith must be delivered to the church. And the delivery of that faith is the giving of righteousness. The unveiling of righteousness is the giving of the faith that the just must live by. Let's begin to talk to God. There's so much about righteousness we don't even know yet. There's so much about God's life. About God's principles, God's doctrine that we don't know. And if we don't keep them, we cannot have God. We need to keep doctrine to be able to inherit God. Let's talk to him that God will unveil to us his righteousness. He will cause us to know righteousness. He will cause us to come to the knowledge of the holy commandments. We will know the way of righteousness. He will create in us a deeper hunger and thirst after righteousness. Say, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We need to hunger. We need to desire to have righteousness, because it's key to our reigning. It's key to our entering the kingdom. It's key to our overcoming the world. It's key to getting God. That which God says is right. The life that God approves of is the life that is in Him. The life that is in Him is the only approved life for those who are just, those who are quickened, raised from the dead. That's the only approved life, the life of faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.